Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the World According to Velvet. This is Velvet reporting live from planet Earth with her theoretical astrologer friend Robert Fitzgerald. We're here today to begin a new discussion and continue an old one. So today, if I got the notes right, we are going to look at the astrological structure of religion and mythology and the importance of gender roles in that structure. We're starting that discussion. Who knows how much we'll get into the gender roles. But anyway, Robert, I'm handing it over to you. Where are you starting?
Thank you, Velvet. This is a continuation of the last couple of interviews we had. The astrological structure of being in a multidimensional universe, and then the astrological structure inherent in the holographic universe as the creation of this specific universe, and how that corresponds to our own internal chakra system. Well, once we have a universe created, I found it interesting that, like, all of our religions, all of our mythologies tend to follow an astrological structure. This is something that came to me working with my ex-wife, who was the astrologer that I learned from. And she had said one time that traditional astrology holds that during the age of Taurus, Taurus was the sign that sat on the ascendant and the first house. Now, if you picture a circle in front of you, the first house is a horizontal line going, it's on the left-hand side of the circle, looking at the circle. That's the ascendant. 30 degrees down from that, as you start to go in a clockwise motion, that marks the first house, and Taurus sits in that. And I think I mentioned this last time, but we need to go over it again. With Taurus on the ascendant, the entire zodiac is cantered 30 degrees in a clockwise manner. And the seven ruling planets, the seven original ruling planets that rule the 12 signs, then line up in a perfect vertical axis down the center of the circle. Saturn at the top rules Capricorn and Aquarius. Aquarius sits on the left-hand side, Capricorn on the right, and between them is what we call the midheaven. Now, below Saturn is Jupiter. Jupiter rules Pisces, which is on the left-hand side below Aquarius, and it rules Sagittarius on the right-hand side below Capricorn. And this follows all the way down to through Jupiter, Mars, Venus, and Mercury. Now, Mercury rules Gemini on the left and Virgo on the right, but it also rules the concept or the idea or the quality of division in itself. It's a unified sign. It rules two signs, so Mercury is a unified center. But below that, Mercury division actually manifests. Actual division, you have on the left the moon ruling the one sign Cancer. On the right, you have the sun, and it rules the one sign Leo. So in this sense, you have two planets now ruling two signs, which indicates that you have actual division within creation. Between Cancer and Leo would sit the what's called the IC, which would be the bottom of the circle, essentially. And from the midheaven straight on down, you have a perfectly straight axis. This axis, interestingly enough, is the mythic axis mundi, the navel of the world, that's sacred to essentially all religions. Around the axis mundi, the mundane world is created. It spins around, kind of, you might look at it as, say, like a barbershop pole, the red and white spiraling things, traditionally were outside barbershops. So what this image then has is that you have these seven steps at six levels. The first five steps are individual, and then the sixth step or the sixth level takes both the sixth and the seventh planet, so to speak, side by side, not in a hierarchical manner. The sun does not sit above the moon in this imagery, in this placement, in this rulership placement. They sit side by side in a position of equality, masculine and feminine equality. Now, given this, we can take all of our gender, concepts of genders and our ideas about gender roles from these two signs and the two planets. It's interesting that feminine religions, matriarchal religions, tend to all worship the moon goddess, pretty much all, you know, across the board. There are instances where, say, like the goddess was considered the sun goddess, say, like in Japan, the sun goddess Amaterasu, if I'm pronouncing that right. But anyway, you have like the feminine comes from the Cancer qualities and the moon, and the masculine gender comes from the Leo qualities and the sun. Now, in our religions, all of our religions mirror this circle axis mundi structure. You have the circle is then the original mother goddess. She's the womb, the vulva, the yoni, however you want to see it, of the mother and in her totality. And within that circle, there are 12 different areas of life. And if we imagine those 12 areas of life as filled with nourishing blood, then once a month she lets go of that blood in the sacred rite of menstruation. And as the blood, as life comes out, then it spreads out around the earth to nurture and support and heal humanity. Now, within her being, then you have this axis mundi, which is actually you can see it as a phallic axis. This is the young god within the embracing goddess. So you have this phallic line coming down to the bottom, and then on each side of it, you have the sun and moon, which you can imagine as, say, if you outlined it, they would be the testicles of this erect phallus. From this image, ancient mythologies were all pretty much focused a whole lot on sexuality as a sacred aspect of creation. So you had the phallus within the yoni, within the vulva, and in that process of loving creation, everything was manifest from that. The goddess in the 12 section circle fed the phallic god, and he then would probably, you know, eventually came to be seen as the creator beyond of all of this, taking from the goddess himself. There is an equality inherent in this. It's interesting to note that if we use this hierarchy, the biblical 7 days of creation and the Garden of Eden stories mirror or reflect this unfolding creation. Creation starts from the top, step by step by step, going down to the bottom. This is the axis of creation. It's a descent of creation from a spiritual unity down to manifest destiny, multiplicity. At the top, we'd say it's like Saturn rules focus and limited, a focused discipline. Yet Saturn is limited, which means that like it limits, it just, none of this other stuff matters. We're just focused on this one thing. So that implies a state of unity. And it touches the upper end of the circle, So it's in contact with the Great Mother herself. That's the first day of creation. On the second day of creation, we have, and I think this comes from the King James Version of the Bible. They talk about, like, on the second day, after the separation of the waters, et cetera, they create, said, let there be an expanse. Jupiter rules expansion. So we're going from Saturn down to Jupiter. This expanse would be, say, the creation of heaven within creation. Jupiter is kind of like this heavenly father type of thing, as the next level below, say, the stern Saturn father. On the third day, we have all sorts of plant life shooting up. And that's, I think, as I remember correctly, that's what they use, shooting up in Martian fashion. Mars is violent, it's violent, but it's life, viola. Shoots up, explosive. After the seeds of its kind, because Mars is considered a sexual planet. Then you get to the fourth level down, Venus, and that's where we have, like, the creation of all the constellations and the stars and the beauty of creation, the sun and the moon. And a lot of what's not said in the Bible, but what you might say might be implied, is that a lot of the stars that are created come in constellations, and the primary 12 would be the astrological constellations to give light and guidance to humanity. Now, below that, then you have, then you go to Gemini, which then it's said that on the fifth day, swarms of birds and fishes. And and Mercury being ruling division or multiplication, if you take division farther out to, its logical end, you have a bird or a bird couple dividing into swarms. And this is where we have, like, life, or the concept, the ideology of life, the archetype of life in all of its varied, varied forms. Then after that, then we have the sun and moon, yin-yang, division, creating actual life in all of its divine, all of its divine glory. And we have then with that, we look from, Saturn as unity. Jupiter is the opposite of unity in its expansion. Then you have with Mars, you have action within the peacefulness of the expanse. And then you have Venus, which is qualities such as different types of beauty and pleasure and all sorts of other things that go with specific actions. So, you're getting more and more division going on here. And then you have Mercury, which is the concept of division. Let's divide this all out. And then at the sixth level, it's on the sixth day that God created man and woman in his or her own image, male and female, sun and moon. And then on the seventh day, God rested. And God rested where? God rested in the arms of the Cancer house and home and nurturing song of the mother. Again, so we get back down to Cancer at the bottom. But no creation is going on then. It's just, it's like a conceptual state past the first six levels. Okay? Now, then we get into the Garden of Eden. So in the garden is this circular zodiac again. And in the middle of that garden, there's a tree. And that tree is this axis. It has a center trunk going right up that central axis, the planetary rulership axis. And it has branches going out, and it touches circle in 12 different areas. And at each of these areas, you have 12 different fruit to feed and nurture all of humanity. Okay, going up that tree takes you to life. Going down the tree, then the tree becomes the tree of knowledge of duality. Not good versus evil, duality. Good versus evil is a masculine interpretation of what that means with the idea of masculine dominance over the feminine, masculine good versus feminine evil, that kind of stuff. And it's time to let go of that. So we're on the tree of knowledge of duality. And so in that tree, there is a serpent. So what is that serpent? Well, as it turns out, if you take this circle again, and you look at the bottom two signs, Cancer and Leo, and you say, let's just connect all of the feminine signs back and forth across the zodiac from the bottom up to the top. Tail is in Cancer, and it goes over to Virgo, Taurus, et cetera, on up to the top. You have a zigzagging line which can be seen as serpent energy. You do the same thing for all the masculine signs. Leo over to Gemini, and then back over to Libra, and on up, and what you have is a masculine serpent line. The two intertwine. They are the caduceus, the symbol of health and healing and wholeness. That is the serpent in the garden. It's not the satanic serpent that our Christian fathers have beaten into us. It's the caduceus. It's the wisdom of sexuality, the wisdom of yin-yang. It's the wisdom of all of life as it manifests within this created universe. This is our religion. When Eve takes the bite of the apple, Eve is the moon in Cancer. Adam is the sun in Leo. Adam was inserted into this womb-like garden to till the soil, or Adama, of the mother goddess in a sexual embrace. And the mother goddess responded in the tilling of the soil by manifesting herself as the goddess incarnate in Eve, or Hava, the mother of all living. So in this, sense then, when the serpent wisdom, which is the essence of the zodiac, presents Eve with the apple, he's presenting Eve with the apple of immortality, as we find from the mother goddess Juno in Greek mythology, Roman Greek mythology, and her sacred garden with her apples of immortality. The apple is a symbol of the female yoni again. And when she takes a bite of that and offers it to Adam, their eyes are opened, not closed. They're opened. And in that sense, they become ready to continue creation. Now, God comes down into the garden and sees all of this stuff and asks what's going on. It's made to sound like God is pissed off, but he's not. He's going like, so you're ready? Okay, you're ready now. And so he tells them what to expect within duality once they leave the gate between Cancer and Leo, what might be considered like the lion's gate, Leo being the wild lion, and Cancer, I think, in antiquity is also the domestic cat, and all of that stuff. Yeah, so that would be the lion's gate, and from there, out of paradise, they spread out into the entire world to continue creation, not as an act of punishment. The serpent goes with them, and it lies coiled at the base of their spine as the Kundalini serpent. This is the serpent in the garden, and Kundalini meditation is designed to realign us with that very, probably very, very ancient teaching. It might even go back farther than even Kundalini experts say it does. It goes way, way back to many thousands of years, and it has to do with a body of knowledge that has only been kept within the myth and the reality. You know, a lot of the other stuff has been lost in that sense. So this is what we have in terms of religion. All mythologies have this descent of creation, whether it's the earth diver. The amphibian who dives from the top of the circle down to the bottom into Cancer and dives to the bottom of the ocean and pulls up Cancer mud, and that becomes the island of Earth. or whether it's any of the other successive world types of creations, where we're now at the end of the fourth world, getting ready to go into the fifth world, which then is more like a climbing back up of this central axis to something higher and higher. As you go higher, you go deeper. Well, as you go higher, there's greater levels of knowledge to understand with this stuff. And in this process, masculine and feminine are the primary vehicles for God and Goddess to continue creation out into the world. So we might say that, like, the Leo God, Yahweh, Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, they go with the man and in his heart. But also, the man also takes within him his Cancer center, his Venus heart, and it's every, the potential for the feminine. Women do the same with, they take within them, and their wombs are manifestations of the circular aspect of creation itself. And with, it is within the womb that everything is created. And we might even say that, like, it's within the womb, the heart-womb complex, that even prosperity is manifest. Okay, it's not just babies. It's prosperity and good fortune and happiness within the community, which comes out through women, and especially women who've had a baby, the mothers, or have done some other form of, say, spiritual growth within their own lives that bypass the need for, say, like having a baby, but they somehow became open to that connection. Now, in this structure, there are two hierarchies that we can see. The first hierarchy would be, say, feminine, and it's not a hierarchy. It's an egalitarian family circle. It's the zodiac. The mother may sit in the center, or she may sit on the side. She rules, but she rules with love, compassion, inclusion, non-judgment. All of her children are extremely valuable to her. We might say it's like we do it on, today it's like the poor are just as valued as the rich. Gays and lesbians are just as valued as her heterosexual children. She does not judge one way or the other. So it's a circular type of inclusion. Now, in the planetary axis, the axis mundi, the masculine phallic axis, the hierarchy is a strict hierarchy. The Saturn God, Yahweh, Allah, whatever you call him, sits on high and gives out his rules and regulations. You have below him Jupiter, and then below him Mars, and Mars would be kind of like the Christ figure, the sacrificial Savior God, the Son of God, so to speak. These are all masculine, and they sit in a hierarchy, one above the other. One has more power and influence, and you always listen to the one on high. At the center is Venus. Venus is a manifestation of the mother goddess again. She's Aphrodite. She's the Greek Aphrodite, which at one time was a triple mother goddess. Below her is Mercury, a male god. He's a hermaphrodite. He can be seen as a hermaphrodite as well. So there, but it's still in this other thing. I'm trying, that creates a lot more interesting complexity. And then at the bottom you have sun and moon, or man and woman. And in patriarchal cultures you have man ruling woman. Okay. But it's really interesting that, like, in this masculine hierarchy, although the father god sits on high, the center, the very center, the fourth position down, three planets above, three below, sits the mother goddess again. So even in a masculine hierarchy, the feminine sits there as the masculine god's contact with the wider circle. Okay? And we've forgotten all about that. We try to, like, just, push that out of our awareness altogether. At the bottom, you have, like, the masculine solar religions and the feminine lunar religions. These are the religions we have that we worship in order to tap us back into this higher religious template or this higher spiritual template. Let's say this is a spiritual template with religion being just like at the bottom of it, because religion is like a political, is a spiritual political institution designed to codify practices and dogmas and doctrines towards gaining enlightenment or gaining ascension up this axis. And there's essentially a potentially a huge difference in that depending upon how we embrace religion. We embrace religion, say, like in a Buddhist sense, religion and spirituality become much more interactive with each other. In the West, we see like Islam and Christianity and to a large degree even Judaism, there is a very, very strong hierarchical sense about it, where religion is the hierarchy, it's masculinized, where spirituality is something larger and something that they talk about but don't necessarily really focus on trying to embrace. Now, within Christianity today, there's a what we call mainstream Christianity, and this isn't just within the Protestants. The Catholics, you know, they have their own issues. But then we also have a group called like the Evangelical Christians. And it can be seen that their understanding of religion is quite a bit more literal, religious as opposed to spiritual, and political. So that when we're approaching all this stuff, they try to hide. It seems to me that they tend to try to hide their spiritual teachings behind the religious teachings of the Old Testament. Okay? So, as we're dealing with this, each and every one of us, we are spiritual beings because of this manifestation out of this spiritual template. Not only are we masculine and feminine manifestations of the hierarchy, but because of the Cancer Leo, that would be like the Sun-Moon connection, but because of the Cancer Leo connection, we are the manifestations of the Mother Goddess as well. So we combine all of this stuff within our beings. And we're running out of time here a little bit, so I'll save the next part till next Monday. But men and women were designed to work together. Or masculine and feminine, if anybody's out there is gay, because we're talking archetypal energies. Masculine and, you know, a gay man and a lesbian woman, they both have masculine and feminine energies and archetypal qualities within them, just as we do. They just express it differently, and maybe there's something we can learn from them in that type of expression in order to break out of what we might consider a rigid understanding of gender roles. You can have your archetypal gender roles, and then there's a lot of stereotypes that are laid over them. And again, we'll have to get into this a little bit later, but I'm starting to find out that there's more to this than, you know, just a quick little half hour talk and that kind of stuff. So anyway, the next time we get in here, it's very interesting, but that in this very template, there is also a template for the hero's journey, and the heroine plays a central role in it.
Okay. Perfect. That's a great place to end it. And I want to thank Robert for sharing his wisdom and knowledge with us today. And sounds like we're going to the hero's journey next time. Is that right?
That's right.
We're going to the hero's journey and the role that the heroine plays in the hero's journey. So again, yes, and so again, we're kind of deepening our understanding of these gender roles, these archetypal gender roles, masculine, feminine, and how on some level we all play out that story. So again, this is Velvet reporting live from planet Earth, and we are saying goodbye until we meet again, probably next Monday. We have to look at the schedule, but next Monday, same bat time, same bat station. Signing off from planet Earth.